Praise the Lord, everybody. Turn to somebody and say, boy, I'm really glad that you came here tonight. Now, you don't really mean that unless you turn and just say it with all that gusto. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know, did Roy mention the fact that our Bible quizzers have been assured fifth place? So that's really exciting. Praise God. The title of my message tonight is Beware of Satan's Snares. Be aware of Satan's snares. Praise God. You know, if we'd be more aware of Satan's snares, guess what? We wouldn't get snared as much as we do. Amen? Anybody here ever had stinking thinking? And you don't even know how that stinking thinking got there, but before you know it, it's stinking. It diametrically opposes the Word of God. You got snared for the day. Praise God. So we want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about be aware of Satan's snares. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:24. I'm so thankful that we have a book that has the answers to the life that we live, the things that we come up against, and gives us instructions how to defeat our enemy. If you read the book, if you don't get your nose in the owner's manual, you'll always be snared. I saw Dan back way in the back. Dan is one of our fishing buddies from Canada here tonight. Good to see you, Dan. That's single Dan, by the way. Just thought I'd give you a little plug. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness. How did I do that? In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God preaventure, give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever made a snare in the wild? Glenn Ross, anybody else? It's a relatively easy thing to make, but throughout the scripture you see God using the principle of a snare is to be an illustration for us here right now. Kind of a visual illustration. In the Bible, and of course today, it's still used to capture small birds and some types of animals and so on and so forth. Trappers use them. Recently, they outlawed the snare that probably is the best example of what the Bible talks about the snare, and that snare is designed to not only capture you, but the harder you try to get out, the tighter the wire gets on whatever's in the snare, and it becomes quite well. Actually, they barred it, banned it, I guess, for because it was too cruel. But I want you to know that Satan uses snares, and his device is to snap you suddenly out of the picture, to get you into a dimension where you are totally unproductive for the kingdom of God. But I want you to know that there are ways that we can get out of these snares. And, you know, once that animal is snared, there's absolutely no help. That's it. There's no way for him to get out except for death. But with God, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. And we know that God's able to do above and beyond that which we ask or think. The Bible tells us, if the Son sets us free, we shall be free indeed. So whatever you might be going through tonight, I want you to know that you may have been snared by the devil on some aspect of your life or your walk with God, but I want you to know that God can and will set you free if you follow some simple instructions. You know, after you are snared, the next dimension is a stronghold. And once he has you hold in tight, then he tries to put a stronghold around your mind to get you to believe that you'll always be the way you are because you are bound so tightly in that snare. And I want you to know also, if you are in a stronghold tonight, We serve a God who's able to deliver you from the jaws of the lion. We serve a God who is able to tear down strongholds. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not natural weapons, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so many people, I've had the privilege of going out to Brother Rossin's jailhouse church out there and talking to some of these men, and it's amazing to me how the devil has snared some of these men into thinking that because of their past, they really have no future. And, you know, it's a hard dimension to change somebody's mind and to get them to believe something that so simple as the Word of God and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of churches that are trying to do this. They don't have the apostolic power that we so readily have around here. So we want to talk to you tonight to be aware of the snares. You know, Satan has been doing this for over 6,000 years, and he's really, really good at it. So to think that you are not you're not susceptible to a snare would pretty much put you in a dimension where you probably are more susceptible than you might think. Because the only way to avoid a snare is to be totally aware of the snares and the possibility and the potential for all types of things that could possibly happen to you. But you can rest assured that there is a dimension that Satan wants to get you in to get you totally bound and ineffective. Keep you from believing that things are going to get better. You ever felt overwhelmed by life? Have you ever felt that, you know, I can't take this anymore? You ever felt, you know, like this is... it can't get any worse than it does. You ever felt that way? I think we all at one time or another have felt that feeling, if you will. But this is part of the plan that Satan has. He wants to convince everybody. You know, Satan is really not concerned with people who are already snared in the world, those who have alcohol, drug, and so on problems. He doesn't mess with those people because they already are snared. You know, they're not a threat to his kingdom. And quite frankly, most churches are not really a threat to his kingdom because they don't believe in deliverance. They don't believe that a person can actually come in here, is a diehard sinner set on a course to go to a devil's hell, be bound with alcohol and drugs and tobacco and you name it, and be totally delivered and set free. It doesn't, you know, they don't have it. People come into churches and they're sick when they come in and they're sick when they leave. And that's a dimension that Satan doesn't mess with. He likes that. That keeps these people snared into unbelief. Praise God. He laughs at that form of godliness. You know, the Bible says that there's a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. It doesn't make any difference how godly you think you are or how pious you think you are or how religious you think you are. You need to have apostolic power running out of your fingers. You need to feel that you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You need to be able to feel free to cast out devils in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Satan's indifference really ceases when somebody gets hungry for God. And we get people come in here all the time that God's been dealing with. Many of these people are not for sure really what even has drawn them here, but they like what they feel. And when that happens, rest assured, Satan is hitting the ground running. He's looking then for an opportunity to put a snare in front of you before you get all the truth. And this is why there's such a fight when you first come to the Lord. Even sometimes just getting to church is like unbelievable for some people. You say, well, I thought you were going to be at church today. Well, I was going to, but I had a flat tire. Well, I was going to, and all my kids started vomiting at once. I've heard that. I've heard that. And maybe some of you, I hope this is nobody here, but I've heard and seen that. There's a tremendous opposing force that will come against you the closer you come to making a decision to live for Jesus Christ, the more opposition you're going to get from the enemy. When you start asking yourself, am I saved? What do I have to do to be saved? I can't stand it this way anymore. I want to change. Then something begins to come out from the other side. Praise God. So we understand that, as the saying goes, all hell breaks loose. The enemy then sometimes comes in like a flood. And he tries to get you not to come here. I've had people come up to the altar weeping and crying. And within a minute, the devil had them so confused, they didn't even know why they came up there. He had them snared. He had them. He filled their mind full of things that caused them to just not be able to focus on what they were up there for. And I know personally from my conversion, the first 2 or 3 months was crazy. Things happened, and people appeared in my life that I hadn't seen for years that tried to tempt me into evil. All kinds of things came my way. But you know what? God was so gracious and so good to have kept me from the jaws of the lion. You know, Satan is like a little general. He goes around plotting things against you and your family. He's looking for ways to divert you. He's looking for ways to catch you. First it would be a snare, then it would be a stronghold. And eventually he wants to seek to kill, to destroy you. But he'd be happy just to keep you ineffective. He'd be happy to have you bound into the fact that you feel you can't ever do anything for Jesus Christ, or somehow your circumstances are never going to change. So why should I even try? So what we need to believe tonight, that yes, there are strongholds, but there is a God. There is a God who said that he would deliver us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when Pastor Grant or one of the pastors come up here and they begin to speak, you can rest assured that they've sought God and they've prayed and they fasted and did what they had to do to feel that they have a word from the Lord. But you know, as soon as Satan knows what you're going to be preaching, he can read. I don't know if you knew that or not. He can read, so he's reading your notes before as you're typing them out or whatever. He can't read your mind. But I believe that he then begins to set these snares for people who really need this message, that desperately need this message. I don't know how many times I've sat in Pastor Grant's office and he said, oh, I really wish so-and-so was here tonight, because I believe this would have helped them. This would have been something that could have changed. It could have been a game changer for some people, just hearing the word of God. And we stress so very much that, you know, church may be optional for you, but every time you miss here, every time you don't hear the message, you're still going to be held accountable for it. You know, whether you're here or whether you're not here. So I'd say download it and listen to it. Not because I'm preaching or whoever. I'm just saying you need what God is giving you on a 3 times a week service schedule. And some people say, you mean you go to church 3 times a week? Yes. And trust me, I love every minute of it. And I want to come back again. And I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do next week, and next Sunday morning, and next Sunday evening, and next Wednesday. My goodness, I spent 5 nights a week in the bar. And I tithe 40, 50, 60% to the devil. And now God only asked me to give 10%. Praise God. Brother Grant preached a great message here 10, 15 years ago. All this for $50. Remember that message? It was kind of cool. He talked about that, you know, if the average wage earner earned $500 a week, $50, and then he listed out all the things that they received from the Lord. And that's a pretty good deal. See, and he said he'd take care of all of your needs according to his riches and his glory. He's promised if we'll only come, he daily wants to load us with his benefits. I cannot believe how much God has done in the lives of just those people I know in this congregation. I know some of you from the past, but I know what God's done for me. And I never want to forget the snares. When I say snares, I say multiple snares that I was involved in. And the miraculously, God took and tore all those snares, took me out of the snares with gentle kindness, put his very own spirit in me. And I just cannot believe it's, even today, I just get I weep about it sometimes when I think about who I was and what God has done. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Satan can take advantage, at least Satan should get an advantage for us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you are a member of Calvary Gospel Church or you're just here as a visitor, please understand that Satan has a game plan. You may not have one, but he does. And his game plan is very simple: to seek after you, to discourage you, to kill you, and eventually destroy you. That's what he wants to. That's all he has in his mind. There's not one thing that Satan does to help you. He puts things in front of us that cause us to become sinful. Now, there's a few snares I'd just like to go over with you as I begin to study through this. The snares are innumerable. I mean, there's probably 100 and some scriptures just on being snared and snare and how God deals with this and so on and so forth. I just want to bring out some of the ones that I see almost on a daily basis. And first one I want to talk about is the prosperity snare. Now, this is a crazy one, but I came to this church and I did not literally have two nickels to rub together. And I had no special talents or anything, but God in all of his mercy and grace began to bless me. And he began to bless me more, and things happened, and my business grew, and things became really amazing, to quite frank with you. I couldn't hardly believe it. I'd wake up and couldn't hardly believe that I was where I was at. But nevertheless, I saw as it progressed after a few years that this prosperity was sapping my spiritual strength, that it was becoming more and more difficult to stay focused on the word of the Lord and in prayer and all these things. That was never a problem when I had two or three men. When I had 60 men, you become the banker, the psychologist, the estimator, the guy that coordinates everything. And then what's left over, you try to give to Jesus. Hallelujah. So Israel's, one of their big problems was prosperity. They did really well when they were in bondage. They cried out to God, and God delivered them, and then they became prosperous again and filled up their coffers with the silver and gold. And then they backslid again and start worshiping false gods. Mark 4:18, Jesus makes this statement. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We have no choice, according to the scripture, that we have to bear fruit. We have to come to a point in our life where we're not only receiving, but we're giving. We're giving out what God has given us, not just on a financial level, but we have to do this on a people level. Praise God. But if you're too busy, you can choke. The word gets choked out. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches can cause us to let our guard down. It can be a curse, a real curse. And I believe that you can keep yourself unspotted from the world, regardless if you're making $10 million a year, if you follow after the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Praise God. I've talked to a lot of people. I said, boy, I wish I had $1 million. Well, I think you ought to rethink that. You may not want to have $1 million when you realize the pressure of having $1 million. But if I had $10 million, I wouldn't want to give up my relationship with Jesus. I wouldn't want to think that for some reason I would ever lose what I have. Because once I was blind and now I see. Once I didn't have ears to hear what God was saying, now I can hear his voice. Praise God. And then there's another snare, the no prayer snare. That's a surefire way to get the attention of Satan. If you get to the point where you stop praying, it's just a matter of time. It's not if you're going to backslide, it's just when. It's just a matter of time. And the problem with it is most people, when they fall, they take a lot of people with them. They take a lot of people with them. What happens is that you are an influencer where you have family and you have friends and you have people that look to you. And when people stop praying, they begin to lose their relationship with God, and the pilot light goes out. You have no hope at all in this walk with God unless you are a prayer person, praying people. When you begin to pray on a consistent basis, things begin to change. The hardest thing any Christian ever has to do, and that's become consistent in their prayer life. They have to become disciplined enough to pray every day. It's just that simple. If you cannot discipline yourself to pray, and I'm not talking about a 10-minute on my way to work prayer. I'm talking about deep intercessory prayer that moves you and it moves God. And trust me, you'll have to fight to get there. I've been there and been back, and I've been there and I've been back. It's not something that you can hold on to. It's not like you get there and you've arrived. It's something that you consistently have to work at. And our pastor is probably the greatest example of anyone I've ever met. He is so consistent in his prayer life. And so, I've heard every one of your names come across when he's sitting up there praying. He prays for his entire congregation. He has a burden for the lost, and he prays without ceasing. You know, when the enemy sees that you're just praying these little small prayers and there's no real fire behind those prayers, it doesn't take him long to start setting snares for you. And you will never know that he set the snare until you fall in. That's the idea of a snare, by the way. The birds that go into the snare don't know they're going there. They wouldn't say, oh, look, a snare, this is a good way to die, and stick their foot in it. That's not the way it works. What happens is that snare is sprung when you are totally unaware that it's there. You don't even have a clue that you have a problem. Anybody with me on this? And then when that snare springs that trap, you're in trouble then. Then you enter into the next dimension, which is a stronghold. And that stronghold, see, a lot of times when we get snared, we're not willing to share with anybody because we don't want to let anybody know that we have a weakness, that we have a problem, and that I'm discouraged, or I'm this, or I'm that. Listen, the multitude of counselors, wisdom. But you know, you can always crank back up the prayer. You can go back to the time and place that you were on fire for God. Amen. You don't have to stay where you are. There's always places to go, and it's only upward. You know, Satan is well aware that the weakest Christian in the world, he's no match for them. If Satan couldn't destroy the demoniac of Gadara, and the Bible says there's over 10,000 demons in that man, he certainly is not going to be able to take you down. If you have any gumption in you, have any heart in you, you can rise up and pray no matter what's going on. It's between your left and your right ears. You say, I can't do this. I can't stand this anymore. Oh, yes, you can. You could stand a lot more things if you just rise up and take control of your thought process. You know, Satan, and I think I mentioned this last time I spoke, but he's a master to get you to keep your mind in yesterday. He loves it when you're in yesterday. Yesterday is where you failed. Yesterday is when you didn't do what you should have done. Yesterday is when you sinned. Yesterday, yesterday, yesterday. He loves you. He loves it to get you in yesterday. Because in yesterday, there's no hope. You don't ever see anything good in yesterday. If he can't keep you in yesterday, he's going to get you into tomorrow. Tomorrow is fearful. Tomorrow is, what am I going to do? How am I going to make my payment? What's going to happen tomorrow? The idea of this game is that Satan wants to steal your today. That's the only thing he's after. Your past is under the blood. Your past failures, your sins, everything is under the blood. And if you repent every day, there's nothing in the past that can be held against you. And I've heard people say, I feel so, get feelings out of the equation. Feelings shouldn't be the barometer is your relationship with God. You need to believe the word of God. If he said that you're set free and your sins are as far away as the east is from the west, take that and run with it. Start afresh. Jump out of the snare. Allow yourself to become the person God wants you to be. And if you're caught in tomorrow, you need to remember that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will follow after you. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs before you pray. Isn't that exciting to know that before you open up your mouth and pour out your heart to God, He knows exactly what you need. But He's going to force you to go back to seeking Him in prayer. He's going to force you to go back and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God is what He is concerned with. Praise God. All these things are possible to those who believe. You know, it's so simple, it's almost difficult, because we think too much. We think of the past, we think of the future. I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I had these little dialogues going in with the characters in it, and I would say this, and they would say this, and then I'd say this, and then I'd get back at them because of my sharp tongue, and I could go for 10, 15 minutes, and there's just a big blank there. Nobody's ever done that, I don't suppose. But how unproductive is it for you to be in yesterday? How unproductive is it for you to be in today, or tomorrow rather? Because you have lost in today. And today is the day that the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 68:12, He said that we're to come to God daily because He wants to load us with benefits. He's excited about giving you exactly what you need. But it's almost like, it is exactly like manna in the Old Testament. You could only get one day's supply of manna. You couldn't go and get, say, I'd like a week's supply, I'm going on vacation. No, it didn't work that way. You had to go out every day and pick up your manna. You need to go every day and get your manna. You need to go every day. And I don't care where your prayer life is right now, you can reestablish it. You can get back on the horse and ride. There's never a point that God has given up on you. There's never a point where you've went too far. There's always the point of return. The prodigal son is such a great example of our God's love for us. You know, when he saw that son coming, he dropped everything he was doing. He ran to him. And he put his arms around him. And that's exactly what God's wanting to do to you tonight if you perhaps have went and been snared. Praise God. You know, God is really wanting to reveal the secrets that He has, those wisdom secrets that He wants to give you, those things that He only gives to those who are diligent. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, sometimes we expect God to do things for us and we don't diligently seek Him. It's so exciting when you get into that mode and you get into that vein. It's kind of like a sweet spot for a baseball player. You know, when you pray, you can feel the power. And when you talk to people, God gives you things, and you know what to say, and you know how to say them. That wisdom is not yours; it's from God. He's imparting in you the tools that you need to minister in His name. Your hands become His hands. Your feet become His feet. Your tongue becomes His tongue. And the reason being is that you are the church. You are the only way God's going to be able to spread this gospel in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that God tempts no man with evil. The Bible tells us that. But as well as we know that, we must remember that Satan is not bound to that. He tempts every man with evil. He tempts every man with doubt. He tempts every man with fear. He puts as much of that on your plate as you are willing to receive. Go a couple days without prayer sometimes. See where your mind's at. It'll be like a scrambled egg. You won't be able to discern right from wrong. You won't be able to get yourself on the right track. Praise God. We should pray all the time. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Where there's temptation, there's a snare. And we ask God, don't lead me towards the snare, Heavenly Father. Deliver me from the evil. Deliver me from the snare. Deliver me from the jaws of the lion. Praise God. I think we all are aware of a lot of really, really precious people. People that, my heart's broken many times when I think of some of the folks that were snared. And it's just like you want to grab for them, and suddenly there's this wall there. You can see them and they can see you, but you cannot get to them. You can't say anything that seems to turn their heart. You can't say anything that seems to crack through this snare. It's a horrible thing, you know. And then sometimes these people turn into a delusion. God then sends them a delusion. But, you know, we are the only hope they have. If you have backslidden relatives, if you have backslidden friends or whatever, if you pray and you intercede, you can break the bondage of that snare. You can tear down the strongholds that they're bound into. We just had this wonderful reconversion of Dane Leonardson. And that was so exciting. It was beyond exciting, because God's showing this church that no matter where your loved one is, no matter what you're feeling right now, there is hope if you faint not. We will reap in due season if we faint not. And all the times you pray, sometimes you want to just give up. You want to just throw in the towel because you see no progress. You see nothing that indicates that things are getting better. And then Satan comes in and tries to bombard your mind with negativity. And this is where you have to really, really get down where the rubber meets the road. And you have to be able to know what God's answer is to your solution. Some of you folks have been struggling with things for years. Medical issues, financial issues, whatever it might be. Don't give up. Don't let the devil snare you and keep you in that stronghold, in that bondage. Praise God. Now, there's another snare, and I'm just hitting a few of these. And one of them is the snare of God's word that's not rightly divided. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. You know, there's a lot of seducing spirits out in this world. There are doctrines of devils out in this world. There are people who have twisted the truth and have made it to their own little doctrine. But listen, that's not the way we operate around here. 1 Timothy 4 and 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's what we're in, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We know this is going to happen. So when you start thinking about something that's totally out of the scope of the Bible, take that thought and cast it back into hell. Because it's coming. You know, it's kind of an ongoing process. And if you're not praying, if you're not seeking God, if you're not willing to submit to the authority that's over you, eventually a couple of those thoughts are going to get in. I've seen it happen. I'm thinking, how could they believe that? I mean, they couldn't possibly believe that now. There was a guy here that came in, and he had a Jewish background, and he said, the reason I never accepted Christianity is because I believe there's one God. We said, hey, good news. We believe there's one God. Really? He accepted the doctrine. He was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence of seeking with other tongues. But that wasn't enough for him. The devil laid a snare for him. Suddenly, maybe 3 or 4 years later, he says, I've got a new revelation. There's two gods. Trust me, he believed there was two gods. Now, the sad part of all that is he didn't just take himself out of circulation. He took his wife and his children and friends and family and this. So the repercussions from that is like throwing a stone in a pond. The stone lands and all these little ripples keep going out. And I suspect they're still going out today. Praise God. Now, Satan is an expert in his own interpretation of the Word of God. Adam and Eve. Surely, Eve, you're not going to die. He He come right out and told a bold-faced lie, if you touch that fruit. Now, he twisted God's word. They bought into it. And the entire human race suffered because they didn't know the word of God. And you need to understand this, that he's still doing that very same thing in 2011. He has not stopped. There are people that believe in once saved, always saved. There's people who believe that speaking in other tongues is of the devil. There's all kinds of things out there that if someone would just sit down and look at the Bible, stay out of the concordant books and all that. Get into the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. How can people interpret the Bible that don't have the Holy Ghost? I don't understand that. Praise God. Now, Galatians 1 and 8, this is the answer the Bible has to all of this nonsense. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which other than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as I said before, so I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. We need to understand there is a gospel in this book. It is the death and the burial and the resurrection. And it's put there for us to see, believe, and to hear to, and to make ourselves free from sin and corruption. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's quiet in here. Especially when you lose your place. Here, there it is. I saw it. It was running away. Praise God. Let's turn to Proverbs 6 and 2. Probably the most common snare for most Christians is they fall into the snare of their own words. The words that you speak, Satan knows we'll be held accountable for every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. You know, sometimes we say to our brother, love you, man, and you don't really, it's not from the heart, you don't really believe that. You're saying it because that's the right thing to say. And I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God says, really? That's a lie. The Bible says, out of your mouth. Proverbs 6 and 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Life and death, the Bible says, are in the power of your words. You know, out of our mouth comes gossip, out of our mouth comes slander, doubt, fear. All these things are expressed by what we say. I can't get a job. You're right, you can't. I'm destitute. I'm financially, I just always been this way. Yes, you'll always be that way. Every time, instead of speaking the promises of God, you're speaking your circumstances. And when you speak your circumstances, you cannot receive anything more than what you speak. I know this is not really heavy doctrinal stuff. They don't teach us at Urshan School of Graduate. But the reality is that whatever you say, you're going to receive. Don't be asking for things that you don't want. Praise God. Life and death are in the power of your own words. The good news of all this is that God has a plan. He has a plan for every individual in this building tonight. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may able to bear it. Whatever you're in right now, God will take and turn that around. You will be able to bear it. You will be able to make it work if you stick with the Lord. You know, there is so many people that I meet almost on a daily basis, and they're intimidated. We need to put ourselves in position to win. We need to be able to understand that there is a way to win this battle. There is a way to win the war, if you will. God is going to do great and wonderful things for us if we understand what we need to do. Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you get in the secret place of the Most High? How do you get there? You get there by prayer. You get there by fasting. You get there by hiding the Word of God in your heart. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. You say that even when the circumstances are not right, when things are going bad. You say that because you believe that's what your destiny is. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He wasn't delivered yet when he wrote this. But he said, surely my God's not going to forsake me or leave me. If you want to get snared of the devil, keep unrepented sin in your life. It's a magnet. It will keep you totally engrossed and engaged with Satan. Now, the beauty of this is if you confess your sin, God will be faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sin and all of your iniquity. If you confess it, not to somebody in a booth, you just lift up your hands and say, Lord, forgive me. I said this, I did that. I'd ask that you touch me. I'd ask that you move upon me. I ask that you'd make things right between you and I. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ upon me. Proverbs 14:27 is another key to get disengaged from the snare. You remember when I told you that in these snares that the harder you wiggle, the harder that the animal tries to get out, the tighter it becomes? It's an exercise in futility. If you try to get out of the snare any other way than but God's way, you lose. If you try to hide what's going on in your life, you lose. But the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord, praise God, is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is called the beginning of wisdom. The wisdom then comes from the fact that you understand the awe and respect that you have for God, your trust in Him, your ability to believe Him. When things don't look right, when your health is not right, when your finances are not right, you trust in the Lord. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of this earth. Don't try to solve issues on your own. Get God involved. Get Him deeply involved in your relationship. Psalms 119:9 is another way to get out of a snare. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Psalms 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And here's how you keep from wandering from his commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. When God's word is hidden in your heart, that becomes your present reality. These quizzers now are taking a huge step forward by hiding this word in their heart. And one of these days, they'll probably be tempted with some of these things. And that word is hidden in their heart. I saw it happen to my girls. It seemed like they didn't understand any of this. But as they grew, it was hidden in there. It became part of their lifestyle. They didn't question things. They never considered some of these things that the rest of the world seems to run after. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Have you ever prayed, Lord, teach me your word? Teach me what this means. Show me. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the author of this Bible in your heart. And is he excited when you begin to ask him, what does this mean, Lord? The Bible says, my sheep shall hear my voice. He says, oh, good, somebody finally wants to know something about my word. And he begins to feed you, Brother Yusuf. Isn't that true? You come to God with a hungry heart, and it's hungry for the word of the Lord. And you are panting after a relationship with a God who loves you so much. We're all going to live 70, maybe 20, whatever. But listen, your relationship with the Almighty God is going to determine where you spend eternity. Is there anything in your life that's more important than your relationship with God? Amen. Praise God. Psalms 124:8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We serve a God whose name is above every name. Not only on this earth, but in the world to come. This is a name that we use to cast out demons. This is the name we baptize by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the name that will tear down strongholds. This is the name that will break bondages and snares. This name, my friend, is the name of the Almighty God. He's given us permission to use it, to work with Him in salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if we'll do this, when Jesus was in the garden, if you remember the story, the Bible says, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Now, when the prince of this world comes to put a snare before you, he's got to have something in you to set that snare with. He has some unrepented sin or something that's going on in the hidden man of your heart that he can keep you in bondage. Can you say that today? The prince of the world cometh, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing to accuse me of. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Praise God. When we're baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and I love this, I can never get enough of this. Every sin that we've ever committed, since the day we were accountable, is taken away. It's washed as far as the east is from the west. Never, ever to be used against us again. And because we're free from sin, it only makes sense then to every day we come back and get a fresh dose of that. Forgive me, O mighty God, for I have sinned against you. Show me, O God, what I must do to get out of this mess that I'm in. Praise God. When God fills you, you know, when you take all the ammunition away from the accuser of the brethren, you know, this is how you resist the devil. This is why he flees from you, because he's on a limited time frame. If you've repented and you've sought God and you're reading your Bible and you're studying the Word of God and hiding it in your heart, you're more than a conqueror with Satan. He's not about to mess with you. He understands that there's a guy right down the street that doesn't read his Bible, that doesn't come to church but once a month. There's a guy down there, a woman back there that has things in their life that they shouldn't have. But I want you to know that there is a peace that passeth all human understanding available to you tonight. It's been a great day in downtown Madison. There is a joy that is available that will break every yoke of bondage, that will make you feel brand new. The Bible says that when you're born again, you are become a species that never before existed. How exciting is that? If you haven't never felt that, don't worry. You're just kind of trapped in a snare, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to continue to allow yourself to be in bondage. I'll never forget the first couple days that I was saved. I couldn't believe it. The desire for alcohol left. The desire for tobacco left. All I could think about is God. I woke up in the morning speaking in tongues. I went in my closet at home and I spent hours in there. I didn't have a job. So I'd be in there speaking in tongues half of the day. My wife thought I'd perhaps lost a few screws. But I'm still amazed at the evidence that God has chosen to give humanity. That he could take someone like me, who has poor English at best, and in a moment, when I repented, boom, I get a brand new language that I've never spoken before. Come on, now that's an amazing miracle. I didn't have to take a course at the University of Wisconsin. He just put it in me, just like the Bible says. I said, what's this? Brother Neil says, you're speaking in other tongues. I said, what do you mean I'm speaking? I couldn't speak English. Brother Neil was preaching when I received the Holy Ghost. Actually, I started singing in tongues. I think he baptized me twice just to shut me up. What an awesome experience is available. Don't you want to just feel better? Don't you want to just get free of this yucky feeling of hopelessness and this listlessness that comes over us sometime? You want to take that spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise? Do you want to get a hold of God like you never have before? Do you want to have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Get up. Stand up. You know what? I sing the song Amazing Grace, and it still touches me today after 30 years. It still makes me cry on the inside. It still gives me great joy to know that once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was blind, but now I see. There's nothing short of our getting into heaven that can make up for this new birth experience. You know, we talk about signs, wonders, and miracles, but listen, this new birth experience is the biggest miracle we can experience here at Calvary Gospel Church. I believe God's drawn us into greater dimensions of signs and wonders, but we never want to overlook the fact that once you were blind, but now you see, that you were a different person prior to your conversion. Psalms 124 and 7. This is a beautiful scripture that lets you know our soul has escaped as a bird out of a snare. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of a snare of the fowler. The snare is what? Broken. It's broken. It has no power over you. Don't let the devil tell you that you cannot be delivered. The snare has been broken. Your soul can escape. You just have to stand up and take it. You got to have the want to. And we are escaped. Oh, lift up your hands, will you? I just want you to know tonight that wherever you're at tonight with God, I don't care what's going on. If this is the worst day of your life, this can be the very best day of your life. If you're snared by something and you think there's no hope, and the devil's convinced you that you're always going to be what you have been, that's a lie. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe that you cannot change. We're talking about a God who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He formed the oceans. He made the mountains. He made everything that we see. And He can't take care of your little problem. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord.